Rise and shine. This is your morning buzzcast for Friday, March 29th. I'm Austin Karp, here to close things out for the week. Going to be a rough day here in the Carolinas for many of my friends, as North Carolina became the first number one seed to lose in the NCAA tournament on Thursday night, falling to Alabama in the Sweet 16. And if we weren't already tired of Clemson, Alabama in the college football playoff, you're now going to get that matchup Saturday night in the Elite Eight after the Tigers advanced as well. Illinois and UConn also moved on. Only one blowout on Thursday night, so I'd expect some decent numbers for CBS and TNT Sports. More Sweet 16 action tonight on both the men's and women's side. No worries here, though. I'm just hoping my printed bracket found its way to a nice local recycling facility here in Charlotte. But moving on. The Minnesota Timberwolves are enjoying their best season in 20 years, just a half game back of first place in the West. Anthony Edwards has taken a big step towards superstardom. You have sellouts at Target Center, just good basketball vibes in the Twin Cities most of this season. But some serious ownership drama took over the headlines on Thursday as Glenn Taylor, the T-Wolves' founding owner, took the team off the market after a proposed sale to entrepreneur Mark Lore and former MLB-er Alex Rodriguez fell apart. So how did we get here? In 2021, Taylor agreed to sell the team to the duo in phases for a total of around $1.5 billion. That includes the WNBA's links. The second phase came late last year, and then Lore and A-Rod triggered a clause to buy the remaining stake, which would take them to around 80%. That was supposed to close this week. But like many steps during this three-year process, there were some questions on funding for Lore and A-Rod. The Carlyle Group was supposed to back Lore and A-Rod originally, but they had to back out after there were some issues, probably at the NBA League office, related to an insurance company that Carlyle has that manages money for a number of NBA players. But A-Rod and Lore apparently had a deal to be backed by Dial Capital. The deadline came Wednesday, no deal was inked. Taylor then apparently had a change of heart, saying he's going to keep his 60% stake for now. And that's going to keep A-Rod and Lore minority investors at around 36%. I am sure there's going to be some sort of legal action or arbitration on the horizon. A-Rod and Lore have made it known that they feel that they fulfilled their side of things. Now, Glenn Taylor would certainly benefit by putting the team back on the market. Estimates have the club valued at almost $1 billion more than what this planned purchase agreement would have been for, and that means a lot more cash in the pockets of Taylor and his limited partners. But Taylor has said he's reportedly not going to be putting the team nor the Lynx back on the market for now. A lot of drama still to unfold in the Twin Cities around these two teams. A more orderly transfer of power was happening in Baltimore on Thursday as David Rubenstein and his partners took over the Orioles on opening day. I loved listening to Rubenstein during his intro press conference. He was cracking up people. It was really good and nice. You could just tell that he exudes love for the city of Baltimore. He has all the hallmarks of a local kid coming home to pay it forward. And he was also really good in the Masson TV booth during opening day, swapping stories with Jim Palmer about the Orioles of yesteryear, as well as plans for the future. All the Masson cameras were also following limited partners Michael Arrighetti, Mitchell Goldstein, and Michael Smith around the ballpark. All three of those guys are from Aries Management. They were talking with fans and made themselves incredibly popular after buying beer for a number of fans in one bar area. With the shellacking of the Angels, the team was hitting on all cylinders in Baltimore yesterday. Always good to see. Rubenstein was complimentary of the Angelos family in his remarks as well. And John Angelos was even in attendance for the game. Positive vibes there in Charm City. There was a good piece out of the LA Times looking at how most of those with investments in and around Shohei Ohtani remain bullish on his future and marketability, though there are still a number of questions that need to be answered. So many entities have a big stake in Ohtani's ongoing success, including MLB itself, the Dodgers, the LA market, and myriad brands here and in Japan. His biggest sponsor, New Balance, has remained largely quiet about the gambling news. But Ohtani is big business for baseball, even for a brand as well known as the Dodgers. My colleague Eric Bacharach reported that the Dodgers did not have any Japanese sponsors in place for the 24 season until inking Ohtani. But coming into opening week, they'd already met with around 20 Japanese companies and reached deals with at least six of those. MLB is continuing its deals with nine media partners in Japan, including NHK, to ensure that all Dodgers games air in the country this season. For the season-opening Korea series last week between the Dodgers and Padres, Japanese TV outlets averaged around 17 million viewers for those games. Just for a comp, when the last Japanese series happened back in 2019, that was also Ichiro Suzuki's farewell tour, Those games average only $7.7 million. Just shows that Ohtani is on another level. Rob Manfred did confirm on Thursday that the league is investigating the matter, but I'm sure all sides want to see this resolved as quickly as possible. I love wrapping things up with some quick hitters, so here we go. Steve Cohen is quietly building a bigger sports and entertainment investment portfolio beyond his ownership of the Mets. Cohen has acquired a 5% stake in Fox, an MLB media partner. That comes after he took a 6% stake in MSG Entertainment. He also has a 5% stake in a company that is a tracking stock for Liberty Media's investment in Live Nation. It used to just be ridiculously expensive pieces of art that interested Cohen, but apparently times are a-changing for the billionaire. It looks like Minute Media, which acquired the license to publish Sports Illustrated, is already sending new contracts to many SI employees. That's good news for the venerated brand and the people that make it happen. A big hat tip to longtime ESPN anchor John Anderson, who started with the company back when I was in college in 1999. He'll depart ESPN in June and cited substantive changes that have happened at the company. Anderson was in some of my favorite ads for This Is SportsCenter. I loved the one he did with Steve Irvin, where Irvin wrestled the Florida Gators mascot. My favorite, though, was when he bumped into U.S. women's soccer star Abby Wambach and Jay Harris in the office and was faking a bad injury before getting up and just walking away. Just a terrific anchor, great comedic timing, and I really hope to see him doing more things after his departure from ESPN. Today is also the last episode of Good Morning Football from its New York studios. The show will pause production over the late spring and summer as it relocates to Inglewood, California. Very curious to see if the show maintains its current cast, which had developed nice chemistry. The show is expected to come back in time for training camp. So, that is your Morning Buzzcast for Good Friday, March 29th. Happy Easter weekend to all who celebrate. Hope everyone has a great end to the week. Baseball is back. March Madness is in full swing. A terrific time to be a sports fan. Abe Madcore will be back with you in the Buzzcast on Monday, and I will speak to you all again soon.